When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Can I turn on your radio?
Yes, already.
It's almost showtime.
Who's your favorite talk radio personality?
That's Todd.
He's weird.
Monday through Friday.
He's strange.
5 to 7. Sloppy.
I mean, he sounds perfect.
He's dreamy.
What do you say? Let's get it going.
It's the Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
Call me now. 937-457-1290.
Locally grown, seriously funny on WHIO.
Wanted to sit at home in my AC, my boxer shorts, my tank top. That's what I.
You actually got off your couch today. You know we
so
gotta
hot.
Give you
I think we need a sprinkler. It is the Evening Edge, Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 on this sweltering day. The Miami Valley. Are you beating the heat? That's the question everybody has. Are you beating the heat? Are you staying cool? Hydrated? You know, when the weather gets like this, that's all people talk about. That's all you hear on the radio or on TV. Oh, wear light colors. Make sure you drink. It's like we've never had hot weather before. Like, what do we need that for? Whatever. It is what it is. Well, we made it to the weekend. Amen. And speaking of hot weather, holy cow. You know, we gave away tickets to the Dayton Air Show on this show and also on the station. And they're geared up and ready to go for this weekend. Geared up. And every year it seems, and I've lived here all my life. I've been to the Dayton Air Show many times. And I think I said this when we gave away the tickets. It always seems like air show weekend, it's either stormy and rainy or 10 million degrees. And with the heat index, that's 20 million. But out there on the tarmac, out there at the airport, holy cow, it's going to be a hot, hot, hot weekend for sure. But anyway, that's the Dayton Air Show. It's one of our great traditions here in Dayton. And I was thinking about this earlier. Like, what other traditions do we have in Dayton that you you look forward to every year? You know, one time going downtown to Reichskennery, that was a big Christmas tradition, but that's sort of fallen by the wayside. I mean, I know they still have the kids' Christmas parade, and that's fine. Down at the Schuster, Dayton Ballet always does Nutcracker. That's kind of cool. And then we have, you know, a ton of festivals, and we talk about that from time to time. So I'd just be curious if there's a particular Dayton tradition that you look forward to every year. You know, last year I tried to get the whole Cheez-It thing going when the city of Dayton proclaimed May 31st as Dayton Made Cheez-It Day. And I haven't given up on the dream. We got a statue. It's not as big as I would have liked, but for now it'll suffice, right? But I still have this dream of having a big Cheez-It festival every year. I would love to do that every year and make it a great way to kick off the summer. Much like they do with the Strawberry Festival. You know, when the Strawberry Festival comes around, that's kind of like, I wouldn't say it's the kickoff to the summer, but that kind of means, at least if you're here in the Dayton area, it's festival season. It's summertime fun. So, I don't know. We'll try to keep working on that. I'll keep working on that. So if you got a tradition that you'd like to talk about, by all means, 937-457-1290. Oh, and Ryan on the live stream, this is one. I used to go to these quite a bit. They don't do it anymore because the radio station is defunct. X-Fest, that was always a big deal. I worked at the X radio station, 103.9, back in the late 90s. And when I first started working there, it was The Edge. And then it became The X. And that was always a lot of fun. It was a big to-do, a big concert, outdoor thing, lots of fun activities out there behind UD Arena. That's where it started, and then they moved it to the fairgrounds, which is now just a big empty field. But it was a much different event at the fairgrounds than it was behind UD. It was a very different feel. When I was working there, it was just, I wouldn't call it family entertainment, but it you could take your kids and not worry too much about them getting in trouble or seeing something they shouldn't. And that's when it was at UD. It was at the UD Arena parking lot. And then when it moved to the fairgrounds, that's when the strippers started coming. So it was a very different kind of event, but a tradition nonetheless. So if you got something like that, 937-457-1290. We're starting the show off with some hero news.
A great hero.
You're a hero.
This is a great
hero.
Story.
A real hero.
He's a hero.
Now go be a hero.
You're a real hero.
Still my hero.
This unsung hero.
You're a hero, buddy.
Well, I saw this story today. This was at in Mississippi. That's M-I-S-S-I-S-S-I-P-P-I. At Granada Lake, and I'm not sure where in Mississippi Granada Lake is, but there were three men out there fishing, as men will often do. They were out there fishing, and they started hearing dogs barking, like a lot of dogs. I mean, a lot of dogs. And after about 15 minutes, they decided they better go investigate. So these three fishermen and their boat, they motored their way over towards the sound of the barking dogs and were shocked to find dozens of dogs swimming in the lake. They were swimming. The fishermen said they were flabbergasted because all they saw were dogs treading in the water in different directions. As they got closer, they noticed that the dogs were all wearing GPS radio collars, which told them immediately, because they're outdoorsmen, and they probably know these things. I wouldn't necessarily know this because I'm not an outdoorsman, that these were hunting dogs. So they're trying to figure out, well, why are there all these dogs in the water? Turns out there were 38. 38 dogs! All treading water in Granada Lake in Mississippi. One by one, they started pulling the dogs out of the water onto their boat. They managed to get about 25 dogs into their boat and then brought them to shore. And as they were bringing them to shore, the owner showed up. And apparently, the dogs were taking part in an annual fox run. And the dogs got distracted by a deer. And the deer apparently bolted into the lake. Well, look, if you got 38 dogs chasing you, you might consider that. But the dogs all went into the water. So after they got those 25 dogs off the boat, they went back in to try to bring the other ones back in. Many of the dogs were on the verge of drowning because they've been treading water for about an hour. So these guys who were on this fox hunt lost track of their dogs for about an hour. And we're talking, you know, three dozen dogs. They were scared, of course, and they were going back to the water. So the dogs were out and then they were going back in. Why? Because they're dogs. Who can explain it? But that's what they did. But they survived, all 38 dogs, and these guys are heroes. These three fishermen are heroes. The owners offered them a reward for rescuing the dogs, but they declined, saying they were happy to be in the right place at the right time to help out. But that's a nice story. That's a nice hero story. 38 dogs saved from drowning during a fox hunt. Ron in Verona. What's up, Ron?
Yeah, I had a suggestion to help you with maybe getting the Cheez-It thing to take off a little more.
Well, I love suggestions. Go for it.
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. How about an annual chili cook-off, but each recipe has to include Cheez-Its?
Oh, a chili. Well, you know, a lot of places do chili cook-off. See, what I think, Ron, is a chili cook-off would be a nice attraction as part of an overarching Cheez-It fest. See what I'm saying? So you would have the Cheez-It fest, and you'd have all these other Cheez-It fun activities. Or fun Cheez-It activities, and then the Chili Fest could be a part of that.
Okay, that
so,
would work.
It's not a bad idea. Not a bad idea. I appreciate it, Ron. 937-457-1290. Speaking of dogs, today is National Take Your Dog to Work Day. Now, I guess last week, it was either last week or earlier this week, I don't know, because Wednesday we had the day off here for Juneteenth, and everything's just a blur. I feel like I don't know if it was last week or earlier this week. Either way, it was National Take Your Cat to Work Day. I'm pretty sure it was last week. We didn't get anybody calling with stories of people either bringing or trying to bring their cat to work. I was really hoping we'd get somebody, but we didn't. But I'd be curious to know if anybody had a dog show up at the office today. There was a recent survey from the institute called iVox. And they revealed that having dogs in the office improves the work environment. And that many businesses have dog policies where you can bring your dog to work. And I'd be curious to know if your company or your business or your office or wherever it might be actually has a dog policy in place. And can you bring your dog whenever you want to? Or is it only on specific days? They say that in the study, they found that employers and employees believe that dogs reduce stress levels. I agree with that. I go home and immediately my stress is relieved by two small, loud, yapping dogs. The stress level just goes right away. But I'd be curious to know if you have a dog policy where you work. And or if you are one who takes your dog to work, we had that here in our building for a while. We did have a dog policy, and I think they've just now said no more dogs, because we had somebody who worked here who tried. I think they abused it. They were bringing the dog in all the time, and then you were finding puddles here and there. It was just really, you know. And some people are allergic to dogs, and you just got to be careful. HR was not happy about that.
What am I listening to now?
What is this?
The Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
It's a radio show. It's entertainment.
Fill it up.
T-O.
Double D.
H.
Double L.
S. T. I can remember that.
Locally grown, seriously funny.
I'm puzzled by the whole thing.
On WHIO.
At best, you're an underachiever at a local radio station.
The Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
Call Todd now, 937-457-1290, or message him at Evening Edge Todd.
Locally grown, seriously funny, on WHIO.
May the Schwartz be with you.
Back here on The Evening Edge, Monday through Friday, 5 to 7. The live stream is up on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. You recognize that, don't you?
May the Schwartz be with you.
Of course. It's from Spaceballs. Classic 80s flick. I love that movie.
May the Schwartz be with you.
I heard yesterday on Miami Valley's Morning News, Larry Hanskin was talking about this, that apparently Amazon is working on a sequel to Spaceballs. And my question is, how can you have Spaceballs without John Candy? I mean, was barf. He was great.
May the Schwartz be with you.
And I don't know how you can go and make a sequel without... That'd be like, let's make a sequel to Star Wars and not have Darth Vader. Or let's not have Chewbacca. Or R2. Or C-3PO. I mean, I don't know how they're going to do that. Josh Gad is a star, I guess. Is set to star in the movie with Mel Brooks producing. Well, at least Mel Brooks is going to be producing it. But who are they going to get to play Barf? Hey, you know I could play Barf. I bet I could fit the suit. Kind of like Johnny Bravo and the Brady Bunch. I could fit the Barf suit for sure.
It's the Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
Call Todd now, 937-457-1290, or message him at Evening Edge Todd.
Locally grown, seriously funny on WHIO.
Be of good cheer and call me.
Call me now!
Call me!
He's laughing at us right on the radio.
The least we can do is get him on the radio and talk to him.
It's the Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
Call me at 457-1290.
Locally grown, seriously funny on WHIO.
Back here on the Evan. Just got off the phone with my wife, Mary. She's on her way home from work, and she's on Woodman Drive heading northbound towards Linden, and she says it is a mess. And I've gone through there the last few days because they're doing that major bridge replacement upgrade 5. And yesterday on my way home, it looked like the exit ramps off of 35 and the entrance ramps onto 35 heading eastbound were finally open. I think we reported that, but I don't know what the story is there at the intersection, but she just spent about 20 minutes moving at about 3 miles per hour. So if you're heading on Woodman and you're going towards Linden, just beware. You might try to turn off, go through the neighborhood, or make other plans and go somewhere else. 937-457-1290. We've got some crazy neighbor stories.
And they make me sick.
Crazy ass neighbor.
Well, 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 if it isn't my neighbor.
Neighbors, you are tedious.
You are the worst neighbor in the world.
I hate my neighbors.
This is a crazy story. Now, I have heard of neighbors trying to sabotage, someone else's property. And I'm not going to go into the story again. I had that incident earlier this year. We talked about it on the show with the lady across the street doing stuff to our yard. But this might take the cake. I mean, this is like over the top. And this is happening right now in Camden Harbor in Maine. Now, this is a wealthy, wealthy area. A lot of the houses are built on beachfront property. On cliffs, if you will. And a lot of people buy these huge homes for the location and, of course, the scenery. And there's a family, actually a couple, that moved from, Missouri to Camden Harbor in Maine. And according to the story, they're part-time residents. So they live in St. Louis, and they have a house there in Maine. According to this lawsuit filed by one of the neighbors, back in 2021, this couple allegedly went to great lengths to remove obstacles from their neighbor's yard that was blocking their view of the bay. So what this couple did is apparently they had some sort of herbicide from Missouri herbicide, shipped to their home there in Maine, and they doused these trees, these big oak trees that were on their neighbor's property, to kill the trees. So a year later, trees dying. And I guess the homeowner who owns the trees didn't know what the story was at first. They figured it out eventually when the Missouri couple offered to split the cost to remove those trees. So they killed the trees of their neighbors in their neighbor's yard, and then they offered to pay half to have them removed, and they wanted the neighbor to pay the other half. Well, this all came out. This all, somehow this came out. They figured out what the story was, and now this couple is in trouble. I've never heard of anything that extreme. I've heard of people throwing stuff into the yards of other people. I've seen that. I've seen stories where people are throwing dog poop into their neighbor's yard, you know, that kind of thing. But nothing like this. The bay that they live in is called Penobscot. I've heard of that. And it's an idyllic harbor filled with lobster boats, yachts, and schooners. So this is a really nice place. And I saw a picture of the property, and it's beautiful. But now these folks have been fined thousands and thousands of dollars. They've also had to pay over $1 million in settlement to the neighbor who lost the trees. But even the people in the town are like, that's not enough. That is not enough. These people need to go to jail. Now, you might think I'm nuts for thinking this. But this very same pesticide or herbicide or whatever you want to call it was used, and I didn't know this. This was part of the story. Back in 2010, I think it was it Alabama and Arkansas for the football? Apparently, Alabama lost or something. And some fan used this herbicide to kill a bunch of trees at the University of Arkansas. It was either that or it was reversed. One way or another, somebody was up to no good. They used this chemical and they killed all these trees. Well, this guy ended up going to jail for doing that. Destruction of property. But so far, these two millionaire folks that live there in, part-time in Maine and the rest of the time in St. Louis, not doing any jail time. But I just thought that was interesting. That is a crazy, crazy story of neighbors going to the extreme to get the view that they want. Wow. 937-457-1290. We have an idiot of the week to talk about.
You are a stupid, stupid idiot!
Comes from upbringing. Parents are probably idiots, too.
Idiot! Imbecile pig!
Wake up, idiot!
Silly dilly dopio. I'm an idiot.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, this is a crazy story. This is from, it started in Michigan. It has to do with a car being stolen via text message. Now, this might be the oddest way that a car has ever been stolen. We've had a lot of cars stolen here in Dayton over the last couple of years. And it's all because of that TikTok hack with the Kias and the Hyundais. But this isn't one of those. This is a Rolls-Royce SUV, an ultra-luxury SUV. Now, the idiot is the person who was delivering this car from Michigan to Florida, all right? Somebody in Miami wanted to buy this car, and they hired a driver to drive from Michigan, because that's where the car was, down to Miami. So this driver, he's taken the car. He leaves Michigan, goes through Ohio, goes through Tennessee, Kentucky, Georgia, gets to Florida. And at some point, the driver gets a text from a number he doesn't recognize. And the text says, hey, you're bringing my car. Don't take it to location A. Instead, take it to location B. And the guy driving the car, he was going to deliver it that day. That afternoon, he was going to roll into Miami in this Rolls Royce. But he gets this text, so he's like, okay. So he takes it to location B and leaves the car. Leaves the car. Well, it turns out that that was a very clever ruse. that there was a car thief out there who somehow got the text number, the phone number of the driver, and managed to convince him to drop it at location B. So the general manager of the automobile dealership who was supposed to receive the Rolls Royce says he was perplexed why the transport driver didn't confirm the change and drop-off location with the dealership. Now, see, I got to be honest. I don't know that I would have done that either. I would have been like, if they know about the delivery, then they must know something. Like, they must be involved somehow, right? Like, I wouldn't think immediately, oh, well, I better call the dealership and confirm this. Because who else would know that you were driving a Rolls Royce down there to deliver it? After the theft, the dealership then texted the number which communicated with the driver to get him to take it to location B. And the person on the other end apparently taunted the dealer, sending images of the GPS trackers that were hidden inside the Rolls Royce, letting them know that they wouldn't be able to find it. The dealer believes the thief is a smooth professional criminal, and has probably been stealing cars for years, so they know all the good tricks. Fortunately, it probably means the Rolls is gone for good. Yeah, you're not getting that car back. And that, I would say, probably $450,000 SUV. For sure. Rolls Royce SUV, yeah. Maybe half a mil. That's what I'm guessing. Brand new, for sure. But that's kind of the oddest way that I've ever heard of a car being stolen via text, you know. 937-457-1290. I mentioned this earlier this week. You may have heard The Best of Dayton is out and up for nomination for a Best High School Mascot. Is the Beaver Creek Beavers, my alma mater, Bucky Beaver. He's up against Centerville Elk, Carroll High School Patriot, and Brookville Blue Devil. And I'm encouraging everybody to throw their support to Bucky Beaver, the Beaver Creek High School mascot. I think that would be a great honor for Bucky. And while you're there, if you feel so inclined, the Best of Dayton, click on the Around Town category, scroll down to Best of Dayton Media Personality, and you will see my name there at the very, very, very bottom of the list. And if you'd like to vote for me as well, I'd appreciate it. I'm promising lower taxes, smaller potholes, and a Cheez-It on every dinner plate.
What am I listening to now?
What is this?
The Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
It's a radio show. It's entertainment.
Fill it up, punk.
T-O.
Double D.
H.
Oh.
Double L.
S. T. I can remember that.
Locally grown, seriously funny.
I'm puzzled by the whole thing.
On WHIO.
From a psychological standpoint, the radio station represents a link to normalcy.
The Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
Call Todd now, 937-457-1290, or message him at Evening Edge Todd.
Locally grown, seriously funny on WHIO.
First, we both get naked.
Let's get naked.
Why are you naked?
I didn't know you were naked.
He saw me naked.
I think we should get naked.
Be naked.
I am naked.
Back here on The Evening Edge, Monday through Friday, 5 to 7. You know, I've never been so angry that I felt like taking off my clothes. And I know that you're going to like, well, what's the connection? What? I've noticed a couple of stories over the last month or so where there's the setup is that somebody gets very, very angry about something. Something has set them off. And in these instances, neither have anything to do with alcohol, which you would immediately think, oh, somebody's angry, they're drunk, off come the clothes, right? But there's these two stories that I saw, and I wonder if this is like a trend, because we've talked about how people are becoming more and more unhinged. The first story, and this was caught on video, it was a Vietnamese tourist who was walking through an airport in Manila, Philippines. And apparently she got to the security gate and she was getting ready to get on her flight. and the security guys are like, hey, you overstood your visa or overstayed your visa. You have to pay us a fine. And I don't know if that's what happens here, if you overstay your visa, if you have to pay a fine or whatever. But in this case, she did. And this just set her off. And she started arguing with the security officials. Finally, she stormed off, disappeared into the ladies' room. Short time later, she emerged in her birthday suit, completely naked. And just upset. She was so angry, she tore off her clothes. And she was walking through the airport completely naked. They were able to finally subdue her and give her clothes, food, and drinks and sent her on her way after she settled up with her fees. But she wasn't drunk. She was just angry. Then there's this other story. This happened this past Sunday. This was down in Somerville, Georgia. Cops responded to a report of a man standing outside completely naked, screaming at passersby on Highway 27. It was a 39-year-old guy. He was upset. He was angry. He was naked. When cops confronted him, he told officers that he was having an argument with his wife and just decided to get naked. So my question is, have you ever been so angry, so frustrated that you just took off your clothes? Is that like a natural reaction? I've never been that angry, but maybe so. Maybe in the heat, it'll set you off.
What am I listening to now?
What is this?
The Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
It's a radio show. It's entertainment.
Fill it up, punk.
T. O.
Double D.
H.
Oh.
Double L.
S. T. I can remember that.
Locally grown, seriously funny.
I'm puzzled by the whole thing.
On WHIO.
I believe it's about that time.
Turn the radio on, Wayne.
This is my friend, Todd.
He makes me laugh.
From Dayton, Ohio.
Oh, super!
What a crackpot.
Would you please just listen?
We have fun,
and it's free.
Oh, boy, this is great.
It's The Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
Call me now, 937-457-1290.
Locally grown, seriously funny on WHIO.
Mr. Green Christmas, I'm Mr. Sun. I'm Mr. Heat Blister, I'm Mr. 101. They call me Heat Miser, whatever I touch starts to melt in my clutch. I'm too much.
He's Mr. Green Christmas, he's Mr. Sun. He's Mr. Heat Blister, he's Mr. 101.
They call me Heat Miser, whatever I touch starts to melt in my clutch.
He's too much.
Thank you.
Nothing but 90s. Nothing but 90s right now. Looking at the Storm Center 7 radar, we got 93 in Dayton.
93 hot rocking degrees.
92 in Springboro. 92 in Troy. Sydney's at 94. Belle Fountain, 95. Urbana, Springfield, Xenia, all 91. Wapakoneta, Salina, 93. Greenville, Eaton, 91. It's hot. And it's going to be hot this weekend at the Dayton Air Show. You know, make sure if you go out there, you're going to be walking around on that tarmac. Make sure you got some good shoes on. You don't want to be wearing flip-flops and then step out of your shoes accidentally or your flip-flops and then suddenly you burn your toesies. You don't want to do that. We're going to talk about the weather coming up after 6:30. None other than weather specialist Nick Dunn is going to be in the studio with us. So that's coming up. Coming up after 6:30. All right, so this story I saw today, let me just preface this by saying I know how this is going to sound. It's going to sound like I'm trying to compare furry, fuzzy, friendly little family pets with cars. I'm not doing that. But just hear me out on this. I don't know anybody who's done this before. I don't know that anyone has ever thought of doing this before. But it's something we might think about in the future. Because my wife and I, we both bought our dogs used, right? Luna, we bought from a guy in an apartment in Columbus. And Lily, we bought from family up north of like near Toledo, out in the middle of BFE. It took us like, I don't know, 3 days to get there. It just seemed like we were driving in circles. But anyway, never once did we think that there was maybe something wrong with the dog. And there wasn't, other than being a little nutty. But you can't do anything about that. But this is a story. This family bought a dog off of Craigslist for $100. Now, $100 isn't a lot of money for a dog, honestly. I mean, if you're going to buy a dog, $100, not that much money. I mean, you could spend thousands, really, you could. This family was under the impression they were purchasing a 3-year-old dog. But they quickly learned that the dog they got from Craigslist was not what they expected. Stepfather wrote this story on a post. He was adamant about getting a dog listed on Craigslist for $100. Without hesitation, the rest of the family followed his lead and welcomed home Mason. So they got a furry little puppy, what they thought was a puppy, not really a puppy, but a 3-year-old dog. And they fell in love with the dog. But as soon as they got him home, all he did was sleep, 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 sleep. And they thought, well, this isn't normal for a 3-year-old dog. And they started to worry about this. So they took the Mason to the vet, and the vet informed them that Mason was not 3 years old, but actually 10 years old. And he had major heart problems. And in fact, this was so sad, the vet gave Mason about 9 months to live. So these people, they bought a dog off of Craigslist, and it turns out it's not what they thought. But the family loved Mason nonetheless, as you probably would, 100%. You bring a little puppy, a little doggy into your house, you're going to love him. But given that information, they were determined to give Mason the best months of his life. They surrounded him with love. They gave him all kinds of treats. They said he lived like a king with new haircuts, his own floaty for the pool, Halloween costumes, though a lot of dogs don't like that. Christmas presents. Mason was living the life of luxury. The 9-month mark came and went. And after that fateful visit, he lived for another 2 years. And sadly, though, in 2022, he passed. And I was thinking about this. When you go buy a used car, especially if you're buying it from somebody off of Craigslist or Facebook Marketplace or even maybe a dealership, a lot of people will have the car checked out. You'll take it to a mechanic who has no dog in the fight, so to speak. They're just there to let you know whether this is a good buy or not a good buy. You know, avoid this car. It's got all kinds of, whatever the case is. That's pretty typical. People do that when they buy cars. But I've never heard anybody taking a dog to a vet and have it checked out before you spend all that money. Now, again, this family spent $100. Not a lot of money. Really not. But there are people that will spend thousands of dollars on a pet. Now, maybe you're not going to spend thousands of dollars on a dog that you're going to buy from somebody on Craigslist. But I'm pretty sure Lily or Luna, I can't remember which, was like $300. I mean, and that's not thousands, but it's certainly more than 100, you know? So I'd just be curious if anybody's ever considered that. Would you do that? It's like, and would, if you're selling the dog, would you let somebody take the dog to a vet and have it checked out? Like you would a car, a used car, and take it to a mechanic or a friend. You know, if you've got a friend who's a mechanic, maybe you don't take it to a, you know, an actual shop, but say, hey, will you check this out? And just see what they think. I'd just be curious. I know that that sounds so strange that, you know, and I'm not trying to sit here and compare, you know, dogs and cars, but you're making an, you're spending some money. And not to mention that if you get a dog that has some health problem that you don't know about, it could end up costing you thousands, even if you only drop $100 on a Facebook dog or a Craigslist dog, it could end up costing you thousands. My wife has already told me. She's like, if something happens with one of these two dogs and they need some sort of major surgery, we're paying for it. We're going to do it. It doesn't matter. There's no question. So just be curious if anybody has done that or thought about doing that. And could we even do that? Would the people who are selling the dog be like, no, you're not taking the dog to a vet to, you know, see what's up with it and see if there's anything wrong with it? I mean, you could spend money on a dog that they know for a fact is sick, and you get it home and then you're left to deal with it, because there are people like that that are out there. They don't care. They don't care about you. They don't care about your money. I'd just be curious if anybody's thought about doing that. I think it would be hard. I don't know that the people selling the dog would let the dog out of their sight. Right? I mean, maybe if you left them a check, you know, or you left, I don't even know about cash. They'd just take the cash. They don't care. Keep the dog. Some sort of pet escrow, right? Put your money in an escrow. Go get the dog checked out. And if everything clears, we'll release the money. Just an idea. Doggy escrow.
What am I listening to now?
What is this?
The Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
It's a radio show. It's entertainment.
Fill it up.
T O
double D
H
O
double L
S T. I can remember that.
Locally grown, seriously funny.
I'm puzzled by the whole thing.
On WHIO.
And now for our devoted listeners. Back to the show.
The Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
Call Todd now, 937-457-1290, or message him at Evening Edge Todd.
Locally grown, seriously funny on WHIO.
Back here on The Evening Edge, Monday through Friday, 5 to 7. You can watch a live stream. It's on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. You know, we've talked about AI on this show quite a bit. I find it fascinating. I do have, on one level, a fear of AI. Not that it's going to, you know, like, take over and become our lord and master. Not anything like that. No, I think about the jobs, you know, the jobs that it could take. It's happening in my industry. It's happening in broadcast. It's happening all over. AI is being used to write code, and that means people who write code, we may not need you as much as we do now or have in the past. This story has to do with something we can all relate to, fast food. McDonald's announced that they are pulling the plug on its AI-powered ordering technology. And here's why. It's not because somehow the AI is screwing up the orders. You would think, that was my first thought. It was like, well, maybe they're just the connection between AI taking the orders and the people fulfilling the orders, there's some sort of disconnect. Something is not, that's not the case. According to McDonald's, the problem is that it's not, the AI is not reliable enough at recognizing some accents. And I thought, oh, that's kind of interesting. Because you think about AI, it has to be able to, for it to be functional 100%, it's got to be able to understand, you know, every single voice that it hears. You know, every accent, whether you're from another country or you're from another part of the United States, you know, I mean, in the Midwest, we don't really have much of an accent. At least we don't feel like we do. But I would imagine wherever you live, you don't feel like you have an accent. If you live in the Deep South, you don't have an accent. Everybody else has an accent. But I think that AI would probably do a pretty good job of recognizing or understanding my voice. But maybe others not so much, right? So that's a problem. The other thing is that it says that it can't distinguish voices from the background. So like if you're listening in your car to the radio, like right now, you're in your car, you're listening to the radio, you're at a drive-thru getting ready to order, and maybe it's picking up my voice. And I could be talking about French fries, which I often do, and you end up with a bag of French fries in your bag when you didn't order them. So it could be a problem. But fast food chains like Wendy's and White Castle, they're also experimenting with AI-powered ordering. But I would imagine that, you know, AI is so new that at some point they're going to work it all out. They're going to work it all out, and that's what it's going to be. At drive-thrus or at the, you know, going through checkout line at the grocery store or wherever, that's what it's going to be. It's going to be all AI, I'm sure.
It's The Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
Call Todd now, 937-457-1290, or message him at Evening Edge Todd.
Locally grown, seriously funny on WHIO.
Everybody, could I have your attention, please?
I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Now, hold on, dummy. Just you listen to me.
Now, listen to me carefully.
You boys got something to say to me? Why don't you talk into the microphone?
It's The Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
Call me at 457-1290.
Locally grown, seriously funny on WHIO.
Just a cool dude with a big dream. Talking weather like you've never seen. He's got the dew point and the wind chill. Nick done a big time weather thrill. When the clouds roll or the snow falls, storm front side winds hailing golf balls, Nick's there, no need to wonder. He's like the lightning before the thunder.
Thunder.
Back here on The Evening Edge, Monday through Friday, 5 to 7, sorry, that was me. I cut off the wrong pot there. But anyway, joining me in the studio, big-time weather thrill, Nick Dunn, weather specialist, Storm Center 7. What's going on, brother?
Well, I'll tell you, it's another hot one. I think a lot of us have probably had enough of the heat at this point.
Oh, no, I want it to get hotter.
Oh, well, then you might like tomorrow.
Hotter, man. I'm going to be outside in my Speedo.
Okay.
My front yard with the sprinkler going and in a case of Corona.
Well, there you go. I mean, you're going to need that sprinkler. We're coming off of today being the hottest day of the year so far, 94 degrees. Factor in a little bit of humidity, and that feels like temperature was pretty close to 100 again today, which is why we've been under this heat advisory all week long. And, you know, the interesting thing with today, at least to me, the humidity seemed a little less. You go back to, like, Monday, Tuesday,
yeah,
it seemed really, really sticky and muggy out there. But today, And of course, you know, you probably don't really know the difference because we've been in the 90s all week. It feels the same.
Yeah.
But from a technical side of things, the dew point, if you will, a little lower today.
That's
just a little bit.
That's a good point because I do notice that, but I didn't think about it until you said it, that it was easier to breathe, I thought, outside when I went out for lunch today. Normally I don't. I come here and I stay.
Yeah.
But today I went out and it seemed easier to breathe while I was out there than, you know, earlier in the week.
Yeah, certainly a little bit.
Very oppressive earlier in the week.
Yeah, earlier in the week. Now, if we had Monday, Tuesday type humidity today, we would have probably had an excessive heat warning with heat index well over 105.
Yeah.
My backyard weather station got to 95 today, so pretty close to Dayton here. And I talked about last night the urban heat island effect. I don't know if you caught that or not. We talked about on News Center 7 last night how the downtown, all the concrete structures, all the dark rooftops, that retains heat.
Right.
So yesterday morning at 1:40, Dayton was still at 81 degrees.
Wow.
And Springfield had dropped to 73. So
that's not
that long of a drive, but you move away from the downtown metropolis, if you will. You don't have all the huge buildings and the dark rooftops, and you start to notice a big temperature difference. So that's one thing, too, this week that, especially those of you in Montgomery County, you've probably really noticed that you can step outside in the middle of the night and it just feels like a sauna just blasts you in the face.
Yeah.
But you're still in the 80s at 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. There was one night this week, I think we were still at 81 at 3 o'clock in the morning. And that's just, that doesn't happen a whole lot.
Yeah.
So when we give you that overnight low of, you know, say 75, it's taking all night to get to that 75 degrees.
Right. And then as daybreak starts to occur, it starts to heat up again.
And
it
doesn't take long.
Yeah, it doesn't take long at all.
And we heat up in tomorrow.
Let me ask you. Oh, go ahead. You were going to say about tomorrow.
So tomorrow, 95.
Yeah.
We'll add to our heat wave. And then Sunday, we're going to get a break from the heat wave. If you want to call 89 a break, a heat wave is defined as 3 or more days above 90. So I think we fall just short of 90 on Sunday, but you know, 6 degrees, you may or may not.
I don't know. My wife
difference.
Is probably going to need a sweater on Sunday, for sure. For sure. Now, let me ask you this. I've always wondered, what's the deal with the heat index?
Yeah, so
it just sounds like something that the weather people made up just to make us feel even worse.
Yeah, so very similar to wind chill, if you will. So wind chill during the wintertime is that wind that is impacting your exposed skin. That's what it feels
like to
the exposed skin.
All right.
Heat index, kind of the same thing, except we don't use the wind in the summertime. We use dew point and humidity during the summertime. And that gives us that feeling out there of when you're outside exerting yourself. That's what it feels like to you. And you may have noticed a couple times outside, you walk outside this week and within 5 minutes, you're probably dripping sweat already. I've done a couple long walks this week, but I've had to wait until 8:30. That when it's at least a little bit cooler, that's thanks to something that you wanted to learn a little bit about, too, called the wet bulb globe temperature.
Which I think is also something that's completely made up.
Yeah, so this is something that a lot of you may or may not have ever heard before. I started talking about it last week a little bit, and I referenced
it
tonight.
I've never heard
of
it. And I studied meteorology in high school for 9 weeks. And wet bulb globe temperature never came up.
Yeah, so there is a big difference. You've got wet bulb temperature, which would be the temperature that you need to be at in order for moisture to happen. And you've got the wet bulb globe temperature, which takes temperature, humidity, cloud cover, the angle of the sun, wind speed, and it factors all those things together in some huge equation. And
then
we get the forecast output that tells us what the wet bulb globe temperature is going to be. So, for example, on Monday when it was really humid, the wet bulb globe temperature was 88 degrees despite the air temperature being in the 90s. And here's the other staggering fact to that. When the wet bulb globe temperature gets that high, for every hour that you spend in direct sun, you're supposed to take a 40-minute break during that time.
Really?
Yep.
Interesting. So why do they call it the wet bulb globe temperature?
That's a really good question in terms of where they came up with that name. But in terms of how it works, I've got that covered.
Okay.
There have been some studies. This is really driven for those that work outside, maybe kids with extracurricular activities.
Landscapers.
Trash collectors, landscapers.
Oh, sure.
You know, I would hope that nobody's trying to window wash skyscrapers this week in the heat.
Oh, my gosh, no.
You factor anything like that, anybody that's exerting themselves outside, I'm sure we've got some avid runners. You try to run during that, you're probably not going to feel very good. You know,
I don't know, man. Some of those runners are pretty hardcore.
You see
them out there running when it's below zero.
I got to get out there. I got to run. Yeah. I got to run.
Yeah. Even when it's temperatures like this, you know, they just feel inclined to do it.
Absolutely. And the other thing this week that's been interesting is we've not had much rain. Now, if you're listening to us up in Mercer County, you're probably telling me, hey, Nick, hold on. We got dumped on Wednesday. We got over 3 inches of rain in some spots, and that's true. You had a couple pop-ups up there. Same thing in Richmond. But here in Dayton, we've only had one day out of the last 16 calendar days with measurable rain, and that one day was 1/100th of an inch of rain. So just enough to tip the bucket one time.
And this is crazy to me because my wife and I were talking about this the other day, that I thought, and maybe I'm wrong, but I felt like late winter into spring, it was pretty wet.
I felt
like we were getting more than our fair share of rain. It just seemed like it was always raining. It was going to rain.
Yeah.
It rained last night. It's going to rain today. You know, it was just like a lot of rain. And now 16 days straight with barely a drop.
Yeah. And what's interesting,
and you said
too,
we're heading into a drought.
Yeah. So right now from the Weather Service, or I should say the Climate Prediction Center, has us under abnormally dry conditions. And that's a precursor to drought, but that's kind of a heads up to us to say, hey,
yeah,
you've been really dry recently. And we have. We're nearing 2 inches below normal in Dayton for rainfall for the month of June. Again, those of you in Mercer County, you got 3 inches in some spots on Wednesday due to a couple of pop-up storms that just kind of really didn't move a whole lot. They popped up with the heat of the day. They rained themselves out. Then a new storm would pop up right behind that.
Yeah.
And so you guys are probably doing fine up there in Mercer County. But down here in Montgomery County and all of our neighboring counties, at least nearby, I know the cornfield behind me, the leaves are starting to wilt and turn brown, which is not good, obviously.
Right.
You go back to the early spring, we were wet. I had farmers messaging me saying, hey, when are we going to catch a break? I need to plant, you know?
Right.
And there for a while, it looked like they may not plant for a while. And then we had a little bit of dry time. They got their planting done, but now we're too dry.
Well, let me ask you this. I mean, you know, 4th of July is two weeks from yesterday.
Yeah.
And, you know, if we don't get some rain, I'm curious if there will be communities who are like, yeah, maybe fireworks after, you know, a month of no rain and extremely dry and extremely warm weather, maybe we shouldn't be shooting fireworks off. I wonder if that could happen.
I wonder if it could, but, you know, if I were a community, obviously I don't make this call, but I'm sure they have fire trucks and whatnot nearby. They can probably spray the ground. But those of you that do residential fireworks at home, or you buy them at home, if we don't get some beneficial rain soon, which over the next 7 days, I don't see anything more than maybe a quarter to a half inch as of right now, which seems like a decent bit. But the fact we're so far below normal, it's going to take some good time to catch up. Those of you that may try to shoot fireworks off at home, if you don't water your grass and keep things, you know, at least a little bit wet for those sparks and whatnot to hit the ground, you could potentially run into an issue. And what's interesting is typically June is not a dry month for us.
Yeah.
At this point during the month of June, we should have already seen closer to 3 inches of rain.
This feels like
just over an inch.
This
here.
Feels like late July, early August.
It does.
You know,
it
the dog does. Days. I mean, I've heard a couple of people say that on the radio. It's like the dog days of summer. It's like when I was growing up, I remember the dog days being like in August.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
Late July. It was this is not typical.
No, and I unfortunately think the way that this is trending right now, I do think above normal temperatures overall will continue probably for at least the next couple of weeks. Now, that's not to say you can't have a day in the low 80s, but overall, when you look at the overall temperature pattern, most of the days are likely to be above average for the next couple of weeks. So if you're not a fan of the heat, I apologize in advance.
Yeah, well, it's not your fault. And anybody who blames you for that are idiots. The other thing I wanted to talk to you about is that hurricane season started.
It did.
Was it the 1st of June?
Yes.
The 1st of June.
Yep.
So we're a couple of weeks in. And I guess there are two right now in the Caribbean off of Florida. There are two storm. I think there's two. They're not hurricanes, but they're two storms that are they're keeping an eye on, right?
Yeah. So yeah. We had Alberto already.
Right. 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 And that was just a tropical.
It was a tropical storm, sure. Very briefly.
Right. But a lot of flooding in Florida.
It did give us a lot of flooding there in southeast Texas. Now there is a system just off the coast of Florida,
right,
that will make landfall later tonight. It's currently just kind of, as you said, a system to watch. I don't think there's enough time between where it's at right now and landfall, if you will, even though it's not a named system. I don't expect it to become a named system. And then there's another disturbance that's actually going to move into Mexico right where Alberto just was. That could become Beryl, would be the next name.
Beryl?
Beryl.
What a dumb name.
B-E-R-Y-L.
What a dumb name.
Yeah, and so...
Beryl.
If you're ever interested in how the names come up for those, you can go to the National Hurricane Center's website. They rotate them.
They get drunk. The meteorologists down there, they take some shots and they're like, let's come up with some names. Beryl.
I'll have to look and see if Todd is coming up anytime
soon. Todd has been a hurricane. Yeah.
I'll have to see if they've retired that name because of how destructive it was or if it's due to come back up.
Usually it just fizzles out. Yeah. Unfortunately. All right. Well, and we're supposed to have, I think, a higher than average storm, like named storm, like hurricane, major storms, right?
That is the overall consensus and the prediction out there. I don't give a tropical forecast because I obviously, that's not my favorite thing to talk about. And thankfully, unless we have another Hurricane Ike, we don't really get
right.
Any
it doesn't.
Kind of
it doesn't come
up here,
unless
so.
There's hurricanes brewing on the Great Miami.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which they're
that
not.
Would be interesting,
yeah.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah. All right. Well, Nick Dunn, thank you for stopping by. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
And I have to commend you. I'm pretty sure you went that whole segment talking about the heat and didn't remind anyone to drink plenty of fluids or wear light-colored clothing.
Well, that's a very good point. You do need to do that, especially for
the
air show. I almost forgot.
That's all we talk about. All right. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Just a cool dude with a big dream.
There you go,
talking
folks.
Weather like you've never seen. He's got the dew point and the wind chill.
Nick Dunn,
a big time weather thrill.
What am I listening to now?
What is this?
The Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
It's a radio show. It's entertainment.
Fill it up.
T-O-D-D-H-O-L-L-S-T.
I can remember that.
Locally grown, seriously funny.
I'm puzzled by the whole thing.
On WHIO.
You ain't gonna want to miss this.
The Evening Edge with Todd Holst.
Call Todd now, 937-457-1290, or message him at Evening Edge Todd.
Locally grown, seriously funny on WHIO.
Well, there you go. That's the show. Thanks again to Nick Dunn, Storm Center 7 weather specialist, for coming by and talking weather and heat and drought and whatever that wet bulb globe temperature nonsense is. It really does. It sounds made up. When I saw him doing that on TV earlier, I thought, is that a sponsor? Is there a company called Wet Bulb Globe? You know, I thought, that sounds like a sponsor. But no, it's a real thing that drunken meteorologists made up. Well, have a terrific weekend. Of course, drink plenty of fluids. Wear light-colored clothing. Make sure your dogs are taken care of. Don't let them burn their little paws on the pavement. And make sure you wear your sunscreen. See you on Monday.
That's it. I'm pulling the plug.
You know what? I'm done.
Well, is that it? Is that all?
Oh, that was fun.
Show's over, ladies. Not bad, huh?
Well, you get an A for effort.
Good night, sweet prince.
Peace out.